This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This is a bit of a different sermon than what you're used to, so bear with me tonight if that's okay. For many of you, this will be a little bit out of your league. It's not going to minister so much to you, and I understand that, and I grant that. But please, can we make tonight a spiritual stand? Is that okay? And some of you are going, Okay. Spiritual stand is that we make a stand for truth, and we declare it in the spirit realm. In other words, we put on our stake and say, this is who Christ is. That's what we're doing tonight. So if you don't feel this is applicable for you, you've never watched a superhero movie in your life, you don't even know what Disney is. You've never watched a Pixar movie. Superman is what you used to call your dad when you were a kid. And that's as close as you know what Superman is. And that's fine. And I bless you. But I believe this sermon is really going to open up some eyes tonight. Is that okay? All right. So we're going to jump into it tonight and come back. Thank you. I entitled the sermon, God's Among Us. God's, small g, among us. The ever elevation of man unto God, the obsession of self, the madness of self. Is what we're after tonight. That's deep, man. That's deep. Enige persoon wat sielkundig geswat het is now going, amen, brother, preach, bring it. I'm going to sort out all those issues for you tonight. You'll have no work after this night. We're looking at how a comic book worldview is shaping our gospel. Must I say that again? We're looking at how a comic book worldview is shaping our gospel. So I brought you some comic books. All right, over here, some comic books. Those of you that are keen, I don't know if you know, there's something called the Action Bible. It's really cool. It's one over here. It is a real Bible illustrated by one of the guys that was an illustrator. I can't remember if it's for Marvel or for DC, but he used to do illustrations for them. And he's made the Bible, and he's made different versions. So he's got one called Good and Evil, which is more about the prophets, if I remember right. This one's a good one. So if you're a parent here and you don't have a cool Bible that your kid wants to read, I am assuring you it is gospel truth, and your kids are going to love it. All right? I also have a manga Bible. True story. When I was in Japan, the one thing that we wanted, and then I asked the Lord for you. Remember I asked the Lord last time? I said I asked for the Lord to experience a little tremor, earthquake, and I experienced that. The other thing I asked for the Lord was a manga Bible. All right? So this is the story of the Messiah in manganese. All right. Really cool, hey? And you'll see it's the wrong way around because it's from left to right. What are we right? Whatever. The opposite of what we are. They do it right. We do it wrong. This is a sermon like you've never seen it before, I hope. Can we go to the next slide? So, we have these two universes that sort of exist. We've got the DC universe, which stands for Decent Christian. Okay, and that's your Superman and your Wonder Woman and your Justice League, Batman, Aquaman, Green Lantern, those cool guys. And then on the other side, we've got the Marvel comics and Iron Man and the Avengers, Captain America, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, the Punisher, all those weird and wonderful, and including that really dark dude. Anyone? Never mind, let's leave it there. Yeah, that guy. We don't have time tonight, but each and every person is represented on that page there, those logos, comes from mythology. Everyone is inspired from a form of mythology. All right? And if you want to know about that, more about that, there's two books I can recommend. First one is Our Gods Wear Spandex. Really good book to explain to you the different characters and where they get their powers from and where they get their motivation from. Second book, Superheroes and Gods, a comparative study from Babylonia to Batman. Wow, yeah. What now? Yeah? Huh? 007 himself is inspired. James Bond, as English as he is inspired from mythology. Huh? Ooh. Okay. Dun, dun, dun. Be it from Nimrod, be it from some of Homer's writings, the whole world, as we see it, next picture, the whole world that we live in, we see there are many mythologies that have ministering to us today. The whole world has some other belief going way back, be it from Africa, be it from Asia, be it from the Romans, be it from the Greeks. All of them are inspired through mythology. I don't have the time to go into the depth of this and why it's very dangerous, but we will touch on it though. Is that okay? Yeah, good. Praise God. Otherwise, we're going to have to go home. All right. But before we get there, we need to look at a little bit of terminology. Okay? Now, for the next few things I'm going to go through before we go there, think of someone outside of church that fills the slot that I'm speaking about. The first one we're looking at is the Superman complex. All right. The Superman complex is an unhealthy sense of responsibility or the belief that everyone else lacks the capacity to successfully perform one or more tasks. Such a person may feel a constant need to save others. Let me help you. This is what we call a control freak, a micromanager. And if you're in the church, there's some like Jezebel. All right? I'm just going to grab some water from the bottom here. I was very tempted to grab, but then I thought, no, I love Jesus and I love my life. So I'm not drinking that energy drink. All right. Hey, Scripture says you can drink poison and you'll be fine for you that had those energy drinks. You'll be fine. We have doctors in the house, right? Okay. That's a Superman complex. Can we go to the next slide, please?
All right, next slide.
The God complex. Okay. Basically, blah, 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 blah. It's narcissistic personality disorder. That's a God complex. All right. This is next level. This is the person that never says sorry. You know that guy in your small group? I mean, the guy at work that never says sorry. That's never wrong. You know that guy? He's never wrong. Even when you prove he's wrong, he's still convinced he's right. That's that guy. But the Bible says, no, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm telling you, that guy. The Euro syndrome. Listen to this one. This is a guy, a good example. It's like a doctor that will stop your heart so that he can start your heart again to look like the Euro. Okay? It's the guy that burns down his own house and then starts spraying it down. These are real things, ladies and gentlemen. The Euro syndrome. The Euro complex. If you don't have the syndrome, you definitely got the complex. Okay, listen to this one. They believe the year of the day. This is the husband who changes the baby's diapers twice a year and think he's done some kind of Euro for helping out. That's who that is. You know that guy? He arrives, he washes half a dish, and he'll make the whole small group know about it. Hi, I'm washing the dishes. It's getting awkward in here. All right. Note that this also applies when females work part or full time and then makes the guy pay for it. You know? And then we have the last one, the Messiah complex. This person literally believes that they're a Messiah type person. We laugh at this, but you know what? This is real. This is real today in our lives. Did you know that this is real in people that we work with? The millennials struggle with this more than most ever before. More than any generation before are struggling with these complexes. And as we can see, it's complex. Next slide. Who knows who that is? Hands up. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you're in the medical field, you should know who this is. This is Elizabeth Holmes. Can I tell you a story quickly? This is crazy. Guys, on DSTV at the moment, you can watch a documentary of her life, or you can go Google it, or you can go YouTube it, or you can go Twitter it, or you can go find it. This woman was the richest woman in the world. Within 4 years, she built a company that was worth $9 billion. Has anyone have a cooking clue how much money that is? Half of that $9 billion was hers. She owned 50% of $9 billion. She was on the front page of Forbes 400 in October of 2014. In 2015, a few months later, her company was worth $0. $0. Let me tell you, she had all these complexes. What she'd done, she fooled the entire world. So what did she do? She built a company that could claim that they'd revolutionized blood tests using very small volumes of blood, pretty much the size of a finger prick, and that they could test for over 250 types of diseases from one finger prick. And what she told the world was, is that you're going to be able to buy this machine, have it in your home, smaller than half the size of that popcorn maker, in fact, a third of the size of that popcorn maker at the back of the church, and you can test yourself regularly so that you don't actually have to even go to the doctors to test. Here's the problem. It was completely fraudulent. She convinced the world that they were building this. Obamacare bought into it. Senators bought into it. The whole of America, where do you think $9 billion comes from? Bought in. They gave her money. She fooled everyone. I want to say something from the word go. Her heart would seem very pure for her cause. Her cause was a noble cause. Her cause was that less people would find out in the last term of cancer that they got cancer. Her cause was that people would be able to get treated before it was too late. That sounds like a noble cause, does it not? And yet, after 4 years and people giving $9 billion, she had nada, nothing, zippo. And she got caught out. Do yourself a favor. Go watch her in interviews. It's scary. Even afterwards, when they said blankly, but you knew about this. No, no, I didn't know. I thought we could do it. And if you look at her eyes, absolutely convinced. And you will be like God. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals. One day he asked the woman, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Okay, let's take a listen. This was a talking snake. We can't get around that. One of two things here. Either in the garden, Adam and Eve could communicate with all animals, or this snake was special. One of those two. Scripture doesn't clear it up for us. But notice she didn't freak out there was a talking snake. Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. Duh. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of Durbanville that we are not allowed to eat. God said we must not eat it or even touch it. If we do, you will die. Note that God never said that they may not touch it. It's not recorded in Scripture that we may not touch it. It said we may not eat it. Eve found out the second hand from Adam. Adam would have been the one who told Eve this. You won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. And you will be like God. Knowing both good and evil. And you will be like God. The woman was convinced. She saw the tree was beautiful. Looked like Zara. Only the girls got to the guys. What's Zara? Who's Zara? I haven't read that comic. Power of Zara. Shoes. Okay. And she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. And she gave some to her husband who was with her. And he ate it too. Please note that Adam was there. Adam was there. Also note the dude had FOMO. Oh yeah, I'll have some. Lego. There's a double trap. Let's bring it home. There's a double trap that the enemy plays in our lives. That's Two-Face, for those of you that's freaked out. Harvey Dent, Batman. All right, the story goes that he's got this two sides and he always flips a coin. You with me? Thank you. I've got a 12-year-old, I'll hold you, 13-year-old that understands Harvey Dent. Praise the Lord. Okay, forget about Harvey Dent. We got these two things that manifest in our lives. We either have great pride or great insecurity. And the problem is, it's like a pendulum. Even better, like a metronome. Tick, tock. Everyone go, tick, tock, tick, tock. No one? Okay, fine. I'll do it by myself. Let me emulate you. Tick, tock, tick, tock. I don't understand. Okay, let me help you. I'm so the best at my work. Tick. Your boss comes. Dude, you totally suck. Oh, I suck. Tock. Woe is me. I'm going to find a wife. Tick. I'm awesome. Tick. Hi, what's your name? None of your business. Talk. The scary thing is, and you're going to have to go pray about this, both are forms of pride.
Yeah?
Okay. It's both forms of pride. And what we keep on doing with this metronome is we crank it with works. What feeds it is works. Okay, I'm going to work harder. I'm awesome. You're fired. I suck. And we crank it harder. I'll put on more makeup. I'll wear higher shoes, heels, whatever. High shoes, thank you. It's a man thing right there, right? High shoes. Makes total sense. Every man is like, yeah, I get it. Woman, tick for Zara and nope, cross, sorry. We have great pride. And we do this all the time. Be it in church. Next slide. So that's the Hulk, right? You know that song of Hillsong? One of my favorite Hillsongs. One Way. Remember? One Way. Jesus. But this is like one way at church and one way at work. One way. Jesus. As jy weer buta dan. Come on. You're all holier than thou tonight. I wonder if I had to record you at work, how many beeps you'd have to put in a day. Let's just be honest. We one way in church and another way. Pride, insecurity, shame. All these things that minister in our lives. Be it a Batman or be it whatever alter ego we have. Now the whole earth had one language. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks. And they made brick for stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Lest, listen carefully, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. And then God steps in. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people. They'll have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Listen what God says. This is God speaking, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. That's real unity. Come, let us go down and then confuse the languages so they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them all over the earth. And they left that building. They left that city. Therefore, his name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language for the earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. Why did God have a problem with this? It sounds pretty good, though, eh? All in unity, all one. What was the great commission of the Old Testament? Anyone? Fill the earth. Multiply and fill the earth. What did these people say? We will not go and do what God says. We're staying here. We're making our stand against God. That's what's happening here. Who's God to tell me? Hell no, we won't go. Hell no, we won't go. They stopped the Great Commission of the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen. They stopped the Great Commission. And you will be like God. That's what happened here. Can we go to the next slide? God is not going to rewrite the Bible for your generation. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Stop trying to change Scripture when it's written to change you. Less amens. We got to stop infusing our story into Christ. We got to get Christ's story into our lives. Thank you, Juan. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Listen, before we go further, am I saying that all comics are evil? What's my point here? Where are we going with this? I'm saying be wary, be wise, and be prayerful. That's what I'm saying. So no, I'm not saying anything to you. It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit, not the conviction of Bernie. We need to move in conviction. But I'm hoping that this will bring us a little bit of conviction. Listen very carefully. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give you each this warning. This is Paul writing. So here's my warning for us as Bernie. I'll go that far. Because of the privilege and authority that God has given me, I give you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so is with Christ's body. We have many parts, one body. And we all belong to each other. And we all belong to each other. No. That doesn't work for me, bro. Don't tell me who the church is. Don't tell me who I must be accountable to, eh? I'm telling you, we are many parts of the same body, and we all belong to each other. So in other words, get over yourself. Klim oor die brug. Bou die brug, kom oor dit. There's this movie, Fool's Gold. And the one guy, okay. Then they say, oh, there's a sidekick. And then he goes, I don't think of myself that way. I'm the lead character in my own story. Yeah, I like that, eh, right? Doesn't that speak so much of who we are? I'm the lead story of my own. I'm the lead character of my own story. Listen here. I don't listen to your song. I look at your fruit. As a pastor, that's what I do. You can come and sing and dance in front of me and tell me beautiful stories and quote me scripture. And, you know, you can do that. I don't listen to that song. Scripture has taught me to look for your fruit. Oh, Bernie, I'm an intercessor. Really? Why are you not praying tomorrow? Simple. If you're an intercessor, something draws you. 2:00, that's me, Lord. 2 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's me, Lord. That's my spot. It's getting very quiet in the house of the Lord. You belong to the body. You're not your own. So what are you doing Friday night, by the way? Where are you Friday night? Let's go to the next slide. So we're looking at good versus evil. Ooh. We need to discern the difference between what is good and what is evil. This is really important, ladies and gentlemen. See, the Satan's making that same lie to us today as he did in the Garden of Eden. The lie is to confuse us about what is good, what is evil, and what is pure. Can I prove this to us tonight? Who wants proof? If you don't, you're not testing Scripture, so there's something wrong with you. Just believe me because I'm saying it. Okay. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. That's a hard one right there. Let's just be honest. Sometimes it's just easier to pretend. Hey, buddy. Hey, high five. How are you doing? God loves you. Do you want coffee? Hate what is wrong. Hold tight to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Ay, here, help me. And take delight in honoring each other. Help me more, Jesus. Never be lazy. When be lazy, never be lazy. Lord, I need Jesus. We're going to do an altar call straight after this scripture. But work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. With enthusiasm. It's not enough to serve the Lord. I've got to do it excitedly. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Ay, here, help me. And keep praying. That's one thing we never struggle with when we're in trouble. When God's people are in need, we really be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Awesome. Next slide. Whoa, bro. Whoa. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. King James. No one says it better there than the King James. You've got to love the King James once in a while. So let's go touch that holy cow. Next slide, please. Does anyone recognize those characters in front of you? Maybe two or three. Okay. Shall we run through them? So, you know what we love about movies? Good guy always wins, right? Okay. Would we agree that these are the good guys? Wonder Woman, Flash, Quicksilver, Ant-Man, Green Lantern, Cyclops. Agreed? All right, so let's look. So I know none of you follow the comics, so I'm going to help you. Flash does drugs. Oh, Flash is a druggie. Listen carefully. Ant-Man beats his wife. Cyclops leaves his wife and child to be with Jean Grey. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch, you know, in Avengers, they're twins and have a sexual relationship. Green Lantern has his wife strangled. And Wonder Woman is today's version of 50 Shades of Grey. No, come on. Come on, can't be. These are the good guys. True story. Last year, 2 years ago, a movie came out on the life of Wonder Woman, the writer and the story, and how it was Wonder Woman represents bondage, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. You know what's scary about that? When the movie came out, Wonder Woman, there was this massive article written that Wonder Woman is the greatest example of a Christian woman ever. I died 9 billion deaths. Because that person that wrote that had never done their homework on who Wonder Woman really is. You can't take one part of something and make it something it's not. You've got to embrace the whole. Hey, it's only entertainment. It's not a entertainment, it's only entertainment. Right. It's only entertainment. Avengers Endgame, $2.69 billion. But it's only entertainment. Biggest grossing movie. Star Wars, The Force Awakens, $2 billion. Any Star Wars fans? Star Wars? Lucas, ek is jou pa. Avengers Infinity, $2 billion. Avengers, $2 billion. Avengers Age of Ultron, $1.5 billion. Black Panther, $1.3 billion. Harold Potgieter 2. $1.3 billion. Frozen, $1.27 billion. Minions, $1.1 billion. But hey, it's only entertainment. But Bernie, you forgot Superman. Superman represents what is pure. He's beautiful, man. He looks like Stefan, man. A haircut. They're just perfect. Chiseled. Kake been wat hier begin en daar eindig. Superman. Oh man, Superman. So good. So good. Okay, thanks for bringing it up. I called this title Gods Among Us. I stole it from the TV game, the PlayStation, whatever. Injustice. Can I explain to you what happens in Injustice? Anyone know about the game? Any PlayStation fans? Okay, thank you. Praise God. Honest people in the house. Here's the backstory. The Joker. Why so serious? Huh? Scary. The Joker murders Superman's wife, Lois Lane. And she was bearing child. And Superman tweaks and turns against the Justice League. That's where the game comes from. And they had this full-on Gods of War amongst us on Earth, and we're on PlayStation. Slam, slam. Uppercut, uppercut. Jump, 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 jump. No, no, you don't jump. You need to hit, bro. Stop jumping. It's not real, so just chill. No one lives in this universe. Next picture. Someone should have just told her that. Elizabeth Holmes. On all the walls of, what's the company's name? Theranos, thank you. And the company Theranos, on all the walls it says, do or do not. There is no try. That comes from Yoda. Star Wars. This woman that built a $9 billion company built it on Star Wars. No, Brie. Yes, Brie. And not only that, the whole world said yes. Obamacare. Do or do not. Try. Yeah, it makes sense. Do it. I'm with you. Here's $1 billion. Yoda, that cool green guy, man. He's wise. When 900 years old, you be Lucas good, you will not. Yoda.
Are you mad? Seriously, Yoda!
Someone should have told her, it's just a movie. I'm getting excited. We're going to be all night. Next slide. We've got another 40 to go. We're getting there. All right. So the super Jesus problem. I got this from the internet. The super Jesus problem. This is the first challenge. We are made in the image of Christ. He's not made in the image of fantasy. We cannot take a comic world view and add a bumper sticker to Jesus and put a little Jesus, J for Jesus, on his top. I'll prove it to you in Scripture. Thank you for asking. As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came up to him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So listen how Christ responds. Why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? Strange answer. Surely Jesus is good? Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not test falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Listen to what Christ felt for him. Genuine love. And then the Lord says, there's still one thing you haven't done. Go and sell all your possessions. Give your money to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. We know the story. The guy can't do it. Why did Christ tell him he's not good? See, this boy came in with a bit of an agenda. He had a bit of a plan. Can we go back to that previous picture with Super Jesus? This is the problem that he had with Jesus. He envisioned Christ to be the Savior, the guy that's going to come and take them out of the oppression of the Romans. And buddy Jesus, Super Jesus, is going to come in, swoop in, kill everyone, and he's going to back Jesus with the money. So he can have a good seat when God builds the kingdom. He put Christ in his mind. He defined who Christ was. And when he said, good teacher, he's thinking you're good because you're going to bring us out of the oppression. And Christ goes, just follow me. Leave everything, follow me. The guy couldn't do it. See, Jesus sees our heart. Everyone wanted to make him king, a worldly king. Wanted to give him a crown, sit on the big throne, hear he. But Christ had a different plan. What are we preaching? What are we teaching? There is teachings at the moment. I'm not going to mention the churches now. I'm so tempted to do it. But I'm going to restrain myself tonight because my wife will not let me sleep all night. Mainstream teachers, part of the NAR. You can go Google that. The New Apostolic Reformation. Teachers that the Holy Spirit, this is their teachings. These are songs that we sing in our church. We sing of their songs in this church. Mainstream, they teach that the Holy Spirit is like a genie in a lamp. And when you're in bad times, all you need to do is rub it.
And poof, comes out this genie, and he'll give you whatever you want. That is teachings in the charismatic movement as we're sitting here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because we're making Christ in our image. Because it's not the story of Christ, it's the story of me. And God must just get with my picture. Because I'm king, priest, and prophet, and don't anyone tell me elsewise. It's blasphemy. How dare we make the Holy Spirit into Aladdin? Where's Wally?
You guys know those little pictures where you got to look for Wally? Okay. So where's Wally?
So in this picture, where do you see yourself?
It's Goliath and David. Sorry, it doesn't come out so nice in this projector. Goliath and David. See, this is the second challenge that we have. Can we go to the next slide? You are here.
Heel achter. Jy kyk nog so oor. Because if David falls, you're out there first.
You know that story?
John, you can't outrun a lion. No, I just have to outrun you. You're not the bee's knees. You see, the story of David is speaking of Christ.
It's speaking of Christ.
Many of us, we had these dreams at night, how you save your company, you save your family. For some of us, we're playing against New Zealand and we press that last splits, last few seconds. We do a little zinzan in, out, around, and we get the try. It's World Cup now. Cricket. We're not doing so well yet, but we'll get there. But you had a dream that you in that last few overs, six runs, last ball. Who smacks that? Do you dream that Pity smacks that ball? Do you dream that you smack that ball? Come on. Huh? Me. And the crowds go wild. Pride. We have the problem with the perversion of God, elevation of man unto that perversion. We've perverted God, and then more than that, we're elevating ourselves higher than that perversion. Cut me deep, Shrek. We keep infusing ourselves into the story of the Bible as if we're the hero. The Bible is his story. We are justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. God is not a supporting act in your life movie. The Bible takes our eyes off of ourselves and puts it onto God, who is able. It is not us that is able, it is God. David and Goliath, it's the story of Christ, not of you. I'm sorry. Powerbrug, kom oor. This is hard, Bernie. This is hard. I know. No, and no. Next slide. You're not a minion, neither. Okay? You're not a doormat. God has not called us to be a doormat. Next slide. For you are free, yet you are God's slaves. Huh? Exactly. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil, to exercise evil. I've got good news for you. You're a free slave. 1 Peter 2:16 says it wasn't me. That's Christ speaking right there. Peter bringing the word. Okay. Meanwhile, back at the ranch. We're running out of time. We need to move on. Prodigal son, right? So, meanwhile, back at the ranch, the older son was working the field. When he returned home, he heard a sulky. And he asked the DJ what was going on. Now your brother's back. Your pa organized a spit braai. So look at this. Look at the son. The older brother was angry. Because no one partied for him like it was 1999. See, his pride stepped in. Pride, insecurity. Pride, insecurity. He felt insecure as a son in the house, even though he was still in the house. He was insecure. And so when his brother comes home, his pride kicks in. But Ospa, how come Boot gets the Mercedes? Come on! What's up with that? In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Listen, you can do something well. God has gifted you. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with this. If your gift is serving others, serve. If you're a teacher, teach. Not just teach, teach well. If your gift is encourage, encourage. If you give, if you're a giver, give generously. Don't just give little, give generously. If you've got the gift of leadership, lead. Each one of us here has a gift to bring. And if you don't bring your gift, it's lacking. When you're in small group, you've got a brief gift to bring. When you're in your company where you work, you've got a gift to bring. Bring your gift. You that is a control freak, let people bring their gifts. You are not better than the others. Listen carefully. When you're in small group, you don't have a better answer than the person before you. No matter if you know scripture better or worse. Stop preaching at everyone. Let everyone bring their gift. And just say, that's awesome. Even if it's wrong. That person is bringing a gift. But we shun each other and we bring shame upon one another. Because I know better. You know when small group starts? Hi guys, we're going to have a small group this week. The first question we're going to start with is, who do you relate to in Scripture? And all you're thinking is a better answer than the guy before you. No, no, I like Joseph. No, 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 I'm then David. Okay. Have you ever written a psalm in your life? No. Have you ever sung? No. Have you killed Goliath? No. Have you run for most of your life because Saul wants to kill you? No. Dude, you're not David. I don't know how you got there. Never mind, you're not David in any case, but you're not David. No, bro, I'm Job. I'm Job. Oh, my word, brother. Do you want me to pray for you for a real Job moment? No, you don't understand. My car died. Your what died? My car. Oh, the battery. Yeah, I had to get a new battery. You're not Job, brother. I'm sorry. Father to the fatherless. Defender of widows. This is God, whose dwelling is holy. Going back to the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit's first name, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you. It's a Holy Spirit. Where God dwells is holy. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an ouch about to come. Get your Band-Aid ready. God places the lonely in families. He sets the prisoner free, gives them joy. This is your family. If you're lonely here, something's wrong. Ow. Here's something profound. If you are filled with Christ, you'll never be lonely. If you are filled with Christ, if Christ is everything beyond everything, you'll never be lonely. You might be alone, but you'll never be lonely. We find Paul often alone, but never lonely. He's always in communion with the Holy Spirit. Ooh, that's something we have to think about. Okay, do not. Go think about it. So you can just be honest, Lord. Moment of honesty and clarity. I'm lonely, therefore you're not in that space. Please come take that space. Let's have conversation. Let's have conversation then, yeah. But let's have first conversation, yeah. And then conversation, yeah. Because we're all part of the family, remember? That earlier scripture. Amo yitisama. But he makes the rebellious live in sun-scorched land. Rebellion is witchcraft. Here's a real story. Next slide. Here's a real story. One night we're having a service in another shofar, one of our another shofar congregations, and something's going wrong and everything's breaking. You know, the lights aren't working, sound's not working. Something's going chaos. In the middle of worship, chaos breaks out. But it's not a holy chaos. It's an unholy chaos. And so some of the intercessors start praying, because that's what intercessors do when they pick up something's not right. And someone gets a word of knowledge that there's someone practicing witchcraft in church. No, that's not the show. It's about to come. So they start praying. And the Lord lightens a 12-year-old child that's walked into the church. And they go up to the 12-year-old child and they say, "Who are you? Where's your parents?" "No, parents aren't here." "What are you doing here?" Witchcraft. And when we asked him, "Where did he learn it? How did you learn to do these curses and stuff?" Guess what he said? "Harry Potter. I learned it from Harry Potter." True story. Hey, it's only entertainment. Let's go to the last slide. So in closing, we're going to take communion. Can I ask that the band comes up? We're going to take communion. You guys can start handing out the elements. Just please focus while I talk there. We bring it home. First of all, the first challenge that we're struggling with is the Superman problem. The perversion of God. The second challenge, so this is, I want you to read through this list and ask if there's something that you need to come and work through with God. If God needs to come and speak to you and give you a revelation, some of these areas. The second challenge, and you'll be like God, the elevation of man, that pride. Another one, you can't do it alone. Better together. Bring your gift. Maybe you don't feel like you give. Maybe you never brought your gift. Then, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot define God, redefine God. He defines himself. Then that double chapter we're speaking about, that pride and insecurity. And then remember, we are sons and servants. We're not the bee's knees, but we're not minions neither. Then you are commissioned. And then we're going to start talking about the culture that we're building. And there's something I'll start preaching about as we go along. Culture. What's the culture you find yourself mostly ministering in and finding in? The Word of God has to change you always for the rest of your life. You need to change. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to change always. If you are comfortable in your Christianity, I'm telling you, there's a problem. The gospel is offensive. Listen to me carefully. The gospel is offensive. If it wasn't, you'd never have to turn to Jesus and repent. Tens Jacobs, previous senior pastor in Shafa Cape Town, always says, if the gospel is not offending you, you're not reading the gospel. Do not conform to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, if church is comfortable for you, we're doing it wrong. If small group is comfortable for you, we're doing it wrong. Just as much as if you're doing CrossFit and it's comfortable for you, you're doing it wrong.
Hey, the CrossFit thing is lekker, man. It's lekker.
You can do this all day. No, but you need to pick up a bit of a heavier weight. Does everyone have? I know the service is a bit longer than normal. I really appreciate that you're giving us this extra time. Get some elements up in front too, please. For the band. Right, so this is what we're going to do. Participate in communion together. Now, I know that in church it's this little shot glass and a little piece of bread, and it looks like a little tequila. It's not really a good representation. See, it represents Christ and it was a meal. What we should be doing is doing a meal, but this represents that meal. So imagine you've got all your popcorn now and having a good meal around the table together. You're taking communion. So we're going to stand and take communion, and then we're going to worship. I want you to listen to me very carefully. If God has touched you, if God has ministered to you tonight, I want you to come up in front. If something's something, God's ministered to all of us, so I don't want us all up in front. You know what I'm saying? If God's tugging on something, there's something you need to deal with, then come to the front and deal with it. Be uncomfortable and come deal with it up in front. The most uncomfortable thing I've ever done in church is wear a Superman t-shirt. I kid you not. While preaching is the most uncomfortable thing I had to do, because I know what this all represents. It's not the most uncomfortable. It's the most uncomfortable thing I can think of now, to be honest. I'm sure there's something way more. If God is busy working and dealing and speaking and convicting you of something, respond. Run to Jesus. Let us stand. Can we kill the lights? Lord, we come and we keep that slide up. Keep that slide up. Lord, we come to you this evening and we bring you this list. We say, Lord, that we don't want to make you any more in our image. We don't want to pervert you any further, Christ. We want to have fellowship with the real Jesus Christ. We want to give you, Holy Spirit, total freedom in our lives and in our temple, which is our bodies, for you to come and minister and come and live, come and partner. We want to know you. We want to represent you. We want to be more like you. But Lord, there's a few things that we're going to have to remove out of our lives. Tonight we come and eat the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, this body that was broken and bruised for the shame you endured on the cross so that we might be free. Let us eat. For the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. That whenever it's going rough, whenever it's going hard, we can call upon the name of Jesus because of the blood. We thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.